Oil prices continue their downward slide. From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura, in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. When the markets closed yesterday, a barrel of U.S. crude oil was trading at $81.84. That's the lowest it's been in years, and it's bringing down the cost of gasoline. That may be good news for consumers in this country, but there's a growing debate among countries that export oil about whether prices have fallen too far too fast. One of those countries, Venezuela, has called for an emergency meeting next month. The BBC's Jonathan Frewin joins us now. Good morning, Jonathan.
Hi, David. How are you?
Good. Prices are dropping so precipitously, and I wonder just basically what's going on here.
You know, there's a few theories abounding about it. The biggest one, I suppose, is fears about the global economy. There was some fairly poor data coming out about the German economy recently. The IMF downgraded global growth from 3.4 to 3.3% last week, and stock markets have been falling. I mean, the FTSE 100 in London is down about 8% from its peak at the beginning of September or thereabouts.
All right, so that's what's playing out in the background, Jonathan. Yet you have the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, able to cut production, yet so far this group has not done that.
That's a fascinating point, isn't it? And if you think back to July, the US became the world's biggest oil producer, overtaking Saudi Arabia. And it's a result of the growth of fracking. And so there are some theories out there that perhaps OPEC, or Saudi Arabia, because it's the most powerful member, and they've been rumoured to say that they can take lower prices, it's a sort of way to try and crush fracking in the US because, of course, it's very expensive to do and it relies on a higher oil price than the market seems to be headed at the moment. There are even some more wacky theories. One of the economics correspondents here tweeted, is falling oil a Saudi conspiracy against US fracking or a US-Saudi plot to crush Russia?
The BBC's Jonathan Frewin. John, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
And let's do the numbers. Brent crude, a major benchmark for oil prices, is trading down currently. It's at 83.88. And looking at the markets, the FTSE 100 Jonathan mentioned in London is down about 1%. It's at 63.27. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. All Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down just slightly. The numbers lie. The numbers tell the truth. We'll explore those dueling themes during a Marketplace live show tomorrow night at the 92nd Street Y in New York City. David Brancaccio will be there along with Kai Rizdahl and some special guests. Tickets are at 92y.org. Medicare's open enrollment period starts today, and some beneficiaries will notice a few changes to the program. As baby boomers retire, Medicare is being pulled in new directions. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The open enrollment period is for Medicare Part D, prescription drug coverage, and for private Medicare Advantage plans. You can enroll in Medicare at age 65. The open enrollment period is when you tweak your coverage.
It's a little bit like eating your spinach. Nobody likes to do it.
Tricia Newman is director of Medicare Policy Research at the Kaiser Family Foundation. She says most seniors are reluctant to change their Part D prescription plans, but she says you should consider it.
Just to be sure that there are no surprises that might mean having greater difficulty seeing a doctor or difficulty getting a prescription you want to fill.
Medicare is getting a few surprises from baby boomers. Almost 2 million more are expected to enroll this year. They smoked less than their parents. Their problem is obesity. Kate Baker is a health economist at Harvard.
They're likely to cost more than their parents did, but not just because of living longer lives, but also because of having more complicated health conditions.
Like diabetes and heart disease. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
The U.S. is the biggest importer of Mexican avocados. Every year, Americans eat 1.7 billion pounds of them. But Mexico is eyeing an even bigger market, Asia. Lauren Silverman reports from Dallas.
Behind 20-foot doors, hundreds of thousands of avocados are ripening in cardboard boxes.
We take the rooms up as far as 72 degrees. Most everything by now is cooling down.
Luis Galicia is the assistant manager at Mission Produce's Ripening Center in Texas. He says right now, business is great.
Business is going well, and it's going well across the company, not just here out of the Texas operation.
Mexican avocado sales increased by about 30% the first half of this year. And that wasn't just because of a Chipotle rush or a Super Bowl guacamole bump. Yes, avocados are a popular condiment for sandwiches at Subway and breakfast items at Denny's. But the real growth is happening in Asia.
We're already selling in Hong Kong and also on mainland China.
Eduardo Serena is marketing director of the Mexican avocado industry. Japan is already the second largest importer of Mexican avocados. But in the first 6 months of 2014, Mexico sent nearly $3 million worth of the fruit to China. Still, Chinese consumers have been a bit harder to convince.
I'd say the thing with China is there isn't actually an avocado-consuming habit.
Maura Maxwell is an editor at Eurofruit.
There isn't in a lot of Asian countries, and so people aren't really familiar with the fruit yet.
Consumers need basic education about when the fruit is ripe. Black on the outside for Haas avocados is a good thing. But Maxwell says many people assume the soft, bumpy, pear-shaped fruit is rotten. When they do eat them, it's often in smoothies or soup. In today's avocado awakening, there's no wrong way to eat the fruit. So go ahead, toss on the Tabasco, limon, or soy sauce. In Dallas, I'm Lauren Silverman for Marketplace.
A few weeks back, I noticed a new U2 album on my phone. I didn't buy it, it just showed up there, part of a big promotional push engineered by Apple. Well, Bono says he's sorry for all the automatic downloads, 26 million of them. We might have gotten carried away with ourselves, he said. In Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.